Now, the shotgun start in golf is full of mathematics. There's a lot of setup work that we have to do in order to make a tournament work. So I'm going to demonstrate to you just exactly how we do a shotgun start here.
And here we go.
All right, all right, all right. Gentlemen, start your engine!
Greetings and welcome to a Friday edition of the Shotgun Start. It is March 15th. Andy, how we doing?
Brendan, I'm all right. I'm worn down. I am tired. I've felt better, but you know, we've got a unique recording set up today. We are recording in the car, driving on the road.
Side by side. We just departed Belfast City Center. Now, there have been some unique situations here in this 5-year plus history of this podcast. We don't have, you know, a lot of pretensions about where we record, how we record. We've recorded in multiple car rides, you on vacation, me coming back from the infamous Kings Valley. We've done airport rental cars. We've done airport lounges. Now, this is a new one, though. Side by side. Maybe hit a hiccup here as we tried to set up, and we couldn't find the adapter we had planned. But we are on the road from Belfast. We've got about an hour drive. Thought about doing it last night in Belfast. Figured we're going to do it in the car. It'd be even more fun here early Friday morning, Northern Ireland time.
We should have done it at last night right after I got mugged off. My favorite new term.
Ask for a top up.
It's from listener Will Hardy. Submitted that wonderful, I assume it's a British or a Irish term, mugged off.
What does it mean? It means that you put too much head on the on your gear.
I think it generally means you got ripped off.
Right, okay. You had too much head on your Guinness pour. People were offended. They said that they had us marked as tourists.
Lots of people said I should bring it back. I said, that is so against all my Midwestern morals for a little bit too much head, you know, that I would. Mugged off.
It was a lovely night in Belfast, a great meal, good couple pints.
I feel like I needed that meal.
Michelin mention or something like that. I don't know if it was a star or just like the, you know, the list below that, the gourmand list or whatever. I think there might have been a great meal at home in Belfast. So figured we'd do this on the road. We're not going to do golf advice. It may be truncated. We'll see.
I want to just call out one golf advice that was a Friday feedback.
All right.
We'll call it out at the top.
Sure.
We got an email. I apologize. I don't have the email up in front of me. I'm trying to drive on the left side of the road. And you know, I'm trying to pod and drive here, which
can I be honest? The original setup with the adapter, you're going to have to hold the mic.
It would have been more. Well, I was thinking about fixing it. I was going to zip up my jacket and have it, like, pressed up against my chest. You know, that's the way I was thinking about it. But somebody wrote in that they got duped by the fake Port Marnock. They themselves got duped. And they didn't realize that they had been duped until we started talking about it on the pod.
And then
They thought they played Port Marnock Golf Club. You know, they in fact played the Port Marnock Hotel, the Jameson Links that doubles as Port Marnock, I think, Golf Links?
Port Marnock Golf Links.
Yeah.
Port Marnock Golf Club.
So somebody did not know that they had been duped until our pod last week where we talked about it. Talk about it. That's like being told Christmas doesn't exist.
Much like the PGA Tour has a TPC Summerlin model, this seems to be a sort of trend and model over here. And GB and I, you know, of course, we got the fake St. Andrews. We got even more feedback. Apparently, the Adair Manor one is incredibly conniving. Adair Manor, of course, a very highfalutin, pristine, well-manicured golf course out in the west of Ireland. Apparently, there's one that's like Adair Manor golf course, or and then the golf course at Adair Manor. They really got the, you know, tourists in the blender on that one. They this just is a model here where they kind of give you the okie doke and get you playing the wrong course. And
why not? Why not draft off successful businesses? You know,
we might as well talk about it since we've been.
Well, this podcast this week is brought to you by Tourism Ireland.
Tourism Ireland.
So you know the great thing for the listener that got duped, he can plan his next trip to Dublin, and he can play the real Port Marnock, and then I would suggest going up to the north. Yeah. We just got done going up to the north. It was awesome. It was such a great trip. We've been documenting it on our various social channels as well as the Explorations podcast. I got to say, I wasn't involved with it. I thought your podcast with the locals from Port Stewart and Port Rush, that was an incredible, incredible podcast. I mean, Dr. Joe is something else.
A new friend we've managed, I think, hopefully. We'll keep in touch with him. So we've done... That'll give you a local flavor. Obviously, like, I don't know, you hear a lot of people come to Ireland and they say, oh, the hospitality is so good. People are so nice and warm. Figured, like, I don't know, why don't we actually talk to them and tell them instead of just some American tourists who, like, were here for several days telling you it is. So that's the latest Explorations podcast. Obviously, this has been, like, an all-time trip, something I feel like I could and would and want to do again. Something maybe with my family or parts of my family. I don't know, depending on how they're behaving.
All four kids? You want to bring all four? What kind? I don't think you can get a big enough car. That's the problem.
That is the problem. But it's something I definitely want to do again. Obviously, been a blast. And excited to go home and see the family. But a blast. So, subscribe to the Explorations feed. Follow us on Instagram. Yesterday, we had one of them. Trunk slam coming down on Andy. A lot of people were amused by that. Apparently, that's a problem with the Volvos. The trunks will pop you when you're least expecting it. So follow us on Instagram.
I was trying to influence, and then the trunk slammed on top of me.
Ireland.com/golf to learn more about how you can start plotting your golf trip over to Ireland. All right. Should we get into... Players' Championship. We watched a bit of it last night. A lot of controversy around drop game. Honestly, Andy, we got a great leaderboard. We got Xander, Rory, Wyndham Clark bobbing in late, making a huge charge to get involved here. Good adjustment there on the GPS. We just saved 14 minutes as we're driving. Wyndham Clark back in it. So we have a great leaderboard. Fitzpatrick, one shot off. Was a great day of golf, you know, as you can imagine. We didn't watch the whole thing. We watched the last back half of coverage. We got the full debrief. We watched all the highlights of Rory McIlroy's round. Seems like, take others' word for it, one of the better days on the PGA Tour so far this year. A day they probably needed.
Not a good day for championship management, though.
Why?
The little rough buffer. The rough might have been there in years before. I think it was. It just seems very thick. It's like a bumper. It's like a pool bumper.
It seems like it's a real problem on 17. Like a real problem. I don't know if my mic's working. We're getting low volume here on mine. But
we'll figure it out. We'll get it out. It could be just an all-time bad audio episode.
Your AirPod, my audio. But... Yeah, they've got these bumpers going, and 17 is just egregious. We've got people spinning the ball back from the flag, coming in hot. Now, we did have a counter example where one did spin through and right off into the flag. Adam Svensson was the most egregious that we saw.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's out of this out of the realm of ridiculous ass to ask the best players in the world to be able to hit a wedge with spin control. You know, do you?
Well, the greens are so firm and fast that you got to provide a little protection around the rim.
Well, if they were firm and fast, we wouldn't have any problems with the front pin spinning off.
Yeah, there wouldn't be. That's all sorts of.
I do wonder if the soft greens was a way to mitigate the conversation about the back pin where the ball skips off the back on Saturday. You know how that back bend happens?
Yeah.
I wonder if they're saying, we're going to go pillow soft. I just wonder, do people really understand golf over there? Is this the way you want to present your champion? Like, this is the way you're presenting your product. You know, think about tennis if they made the lines on the court bigger. It would reduce rallies. It would make the court wider. It would reduce rallies. That would be a bad thing. Like, the narrow edge of the sport is what makes it so enthralling. Just like golf, I don't think there's a more – what I mean, maybe 12 at Augusta, the postage stamp. There's a small list of holes that are as fun to watch as 17 at Sawgrass, and they have somehow – managed to screw it up.
Yeah, it's the rough bumpers seem to be particularly egregious, and it's 17 is the most shining example. But it feels like they've got them lining all up and down. Also, I mean, the hazards are a primary part of this. The cross hazards, cross bunkers, things like that. They've got this rough. Like, what's the point? Why even have the hazard there as this bumper? But 17, it feels like...
Well, then they couldn't do their rough mowing video.
Well, the problem is they pull one thread, like you're talking about, and then they don't understand the implications of pulling that thread. So all of a sudden, you know, maybe they're softening the greens for one back pin on 17. Like, there's all sorts of these downstream implications that, like, it just sort of builds and builds and builds on top of each other. And now we have a course and a presentation that's completely unrecognizable. So whatever Pete Dye, and Garrett Morrison was talking about this, I saw, but whatever Pete Dye had originally intended or planned, it's just completely anathema to anything that was set up.
I think it's representative of the organization as a whole. They've taken every tournament. I mean, look what they've done to the Western Open. Look what they've done to the Canadian Open. This is an organization that takes things that are nice and ruins them.
Oh, come on. They're on their back foot right now, as they say. But they've got a good tournament going. It's just the bumpers felt particularly offensive. But we'll see how it continues on. I got some... we got three solid leaders. Good day of action.
How about Wyndham Clark?
Came in late. He was in the late wave. So Xander Rory setting the early pace.
Wyndham Clark is just...
Wyndham?
I mean, he's like... He's just there everywhere. I mean, I think he's, we'll see. I don't want to like get too into a small sample, but we're going on a year of him being one of the three best players in the world, four.
Yeah.
I don't think it's crazy to say that. You know, Victor Hovland would be in there, Rahm, Scheffler. Has Wyndham Clark played better over the last year than Rory?
Yes. Yes, I think he's just about as consistent. Obviously, he's got the bigger wins, right? More wins. I guess you'd argue on the consistency front. But starting at about April, May, maybe, last year, I think he's right there. So
blossoming into a top five player in the world.
Yeah. I think this is the kind of day the tour needed, whatever we, you know, hang-ups we might have about their maintenance or whatever. How mad were you about the Pushmo video? People were jamming you. People started calling you this sort of ninny for tweeting about it being, you know, environmentally insensitive. I don't think people are understanding the full scope of what it all represented. Not just
mowing
your lawn.
I think when you throw in everything that the tour is doing this week, from a maintenance standpoint, the bright green grass, the overseed, the immense amount of inputs. Whether it's, you know, chemicals and or water that has to go into what they're doing this week. And then to walk around with 50 push mowers, gas push mowers, and mow this little plot of grass, which they could have just done with like a regular mower, like one of their bigger rough mowers, is absolutely insane. And I just think now, like, I don't know. I don't want to get into like a climate discussion on here, okay? Whether you believe in climate change or whether you don't believe in climate change, what I can tell you is that the trends of society are pointing towards organizations and forcing organizations to be more sustainable and responsible about their the way they present things. And to me, the PGA Tour should be one of the people that leads by example. If they like, they do so much great stuff from a charitable aspect. Why don't you guys become leaders in the sustainability and like, this is how we present golf courses. This is how you can maintain golf courses. Like the USGA is doing work on it, but like tournament golf is such a billboard. And the fact that they're doing this, I mean, asinine shit. It's just, it's pointless stuff. It doesn't even impact it, but it costs money, time. Is setting such a bad example for golf courses all over the world. I mean, we're in Ireland right now, and the golf courses play better over here, require less inputs, and the maintenance in general is so much more responsible. And like what the tour is doing is they don't even understand that they're hindering their playing surface, which is what they should be focused on. How do we provide the best playing surface? And maybe they don't really... I think a playing surface, like, imagine if Wimbledon was just sopping wet.
Another tennis example.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to, like, you the know, grass at Wimbledon was sopping wet, and the ball wasn't bouncing. What it would do to the competition.
Right, right.
No, and beyond that, I think, like, for the long-term health and the future of golf, the biggest tournament organizer and should be looking at, like, how do we make golf look environmentally conscious, environmentally, like the way golf is, and maybe this is, comes from being over here, the way, and I'm sorry, I'm an environmental science major, that could be part of this, but like the way golf is presented over here, intertwined in regular life, and, you know, is so much better than what's being presented at TPC Sawgrass. And the tour should really look to be a leader on this front.
It's all backwards. Again, it's the one thread you pull. It's for a $25 million purse. That's a TV product. That's what they want to have it set up. There's millions and billions of dollars involved and on the line with this. And so that's why you get this sort of overemphasis on chemicals, inputs, all you want to talk about. The push mow and the rub seems just so working backwards.
Ridiculous.
And they've got, you know, 25 guys, an army breaking it up, then push mowing it. It just seems unnecessary. But it's catnip. It's good social content. I don't know. It's got us hollering. It is a bad, silly example. But, you know, people just, you know, kind of shout without context on social media when you push back on the video there. So, all right, getting back to the action here. We've got Rory McIlroy, Dropgate. We're probably Dropgate. The last podcast that doesn't get the drop game until minute whatever it is, 20. But we're also, I gotta say, the Starbucks in Ireland, not good.
No.
Not worse than Starbucks.
Well, it's the only coffee shop that was open at 6:30.
They don't open until 9 over here, the good ones. So, the Starbucks is like coffee-flavored water. It's not great, but...
You know what? It's providing me something.
It's giving, what's that?
It's just providing me with something.
Something.
Juice.
Yeah. All right, so we got Rory McIlroy shoots ten birdies, 8 under. makes 10 birdies, had a double, and a bogey.
Sounded like the PGA Tour bot.
Hits putts well. Shoots 65. So we're at the drop game becomes the big drama. I gotta say, you know, we've had Gold Boy in the past. We've had Fan Vote Friday, a new all-timer into the Players' Championship canon. Is last night, I'm tucking myself in, I'm watching coverage, watching post-game. They've got Johnson Wagner in a lime-green quarter zip on the banks of the seventh hole, where Rory's ball bounced and then went in the water. And I gotta say, it's the most cackling, amusing, absurd thing I've seen on a golf broadcast coverage show in my life. And this is a long life of watching a lot of hours of this nonsense. Johnson, like, if you're a security guard at TPC Sawgrass and you come upon this, you're like, we got to get this guy arrested and detained if he's not sir, we've got a man named Johnson in a lime green quarter zip, but he's on the seventh hole, and he is just slamming balls with great vigor and all sorts of gesticulations, just pounding balls into the side of the bank at seven. What is happening? And then, so he's trying to test. He throws three, just a sort of illustrative of how absurd this tournament has gone over this. I don't know. I guess it's a major scandal. Dropgate. I tried to look into it as much. I mean, I tried to give it as much heft as it should. But he's bouncing balls from way above the red line, like about the red line, and then below the red line. Then they're going to camera.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you think before they started filming, he warmed up his arm?
I think so. I mean, he's trying to approximate think ball speed off a drive.
Had a little bullpen session before.
Just launching golf balls into the fairway. It was. I love it. I'm glad they did it. I don't know what it proved. I guess it's conclusive evidence. It feels a little bit like some.
What was the conclusion?
What
was the conclusion? The drop was okay.
Yes, the conclusion was it must have hit above the red line. Because they go to this camera on the other side of the fairway, the ball was seen bouncing into camera view from the other side of the fairway. So the one that he tossed below, or I chucked or rifled, below the red line, does not bounce up into camera view.
Okay.
I mean,
do you think Justin Wagner is throwing a ball as fast as a driver?
Your Honor, he's innocent. We got a mustachioed man. A bright lime green corner set named Johnson chucking balls in the bank, and now we have our evidence. But this was the big deal. A lot of people, maybe rightfully, really criticizing Rory for this. Said he went too hard, too aggressive. There's a rules official at one time in the 8 minutes of audio, a video posted by the PGA Tour. At one point, the official says, if you want to be safe, go back. You got to be safe, go back. Yeah, go back even farther. So, this comes after 18, where there was a little bit of a contretemps about how far up he should have dropped there. And sort of backstory here, I would say Spieth and Rory have been on opposite sides of some of the underlying issues with the tour. The Strategic Sports Group.
And they had that long phone call at Pebble Beach.
Yeah. Yes, right. Rory took himself off the group text. We had that Alex Maselli article, I think. So they've been on different sides. I don't know that they've been rivals or warring or battling or anything like that. But they've not been of a similar mind, the last 5-6 months on some of the underlying or the overlying major issues. And so then they're playing together. From some accounts on the ground, I saw Dan Rappaport tweeted about this. We've had a few other accounts. The vibe was a little interesting. Maybe they weren't, chumming it up the whole way around. I think Rory and Victor were chatting.
It's got to be hard for Spieth to play in a group with two superstars.
That's right. The evidence, speaking of evidence, is continuing to mount. But some people are just guys. We were across the street, we had dinner across the street from the man shack. Some store, I don't even know what that means. It's like they need just a guy shack over there.
Just a guy shack.
The evidence is continuing to mount on that front. So, Spieth, Hovland, Spieth, they let it happen at 18. They say, the broadcast says, Wayne Radar Riley says it crossed up here. I think I'm good. Happens on 7, we got at least about a six-minute discussion or something like that. Spieth comes wandering over. Hovland first sort of interjects.
I love Hovland's stance. I just love how he stands, how he gets over, and then he just kind of stands there, and he makes himself known. I feel like he's got just a great presence about calling people on potential infractions.
He's got his hands on his hips. Kind of puts his hands out, like does the shoulder shrug thing. He does a great job with that. I love Hovland. So there's a big, like, just the star power involved with Spieth and Rory. A lot of people said Rory pushed it way too much, pushed it way too hard.
One of my
maybe Johnson Wagner's little experiment exonerates him.
One of my questions would be, how would we view this if it was Bryson or Patrick Reed?
Yeah. Well yeah. It would be, I mean, they'd be getting the most intense scrutiny. I think Rory's not skating because he's Rory. I think because he's so high profile, he's definitely in the crosshairs on this. Do I think the championship should be played under protest? Or there's some type of cloud over the championship? No. I sort of didn't get, like, I get people love rules controversies, and this was something to talk about. It felt a little over, like, just honestly, speaking of someone watching from afar, like, granted, we definitely get down in the muck on these things a lot. We'd love to talk about them. I guess being removed, not being at Sawgrass, not being watching all 15 hours of coverage or whatever it may be, I was like, I don't know. Okay, so he goes back. It felt like a 50-50 ball, but maybe I'm wrong. It seems like nobody knows for sure that it hit below the line. Maybe Johnson Wagner knows for sure now. I don't. So
I think this is another point in the long term situation. Like, in the long term, I think the tour, there's so much money in the sport. There's so much money up for grabs. I think one of the things that continues to happen with these rules situations is that there needs to be referees that call the shots. Because if you leave it up to the players, whether they're right or whether they're wrong, and it seems like in this situation, there's a lot of people on either side of this, whether it was a right drop or a wrong drop. All this is doing is putting the players in a bad spot. Whether it's Patrick Reed, whether it's Rory here, whether it's Sung Kang, Shaggy Kang. But if you have a walking referee, and I know the history of the game has been, it's a gentleman's sport, you call penalties on yourself, but I think there needs to be a walking referee who makes calls. Like, you got $3 billion coming from SSG, however many billion coming from the Saudis. Let's just get a referee in there. You want to talk about protecting the players. This would be a move that in the long term would protect players from getting, like, really in bad situations, because then it comes down to, like, hey, the referee said this. This is what the referee said. And that's the way that we're going to guide. Maybe in the long term, there's some technology that can aid it, but that's only going to keep players out of these types of situations, which I think, like, cheating, taking bad drops, you know, I don't think this was cheating in any way. If it was a bad drop, I think this was, like, attempting to, you know, this is what I think happened. Also, it's really hard to see where a golf ball lands when it flies 300 yards. That's the other thing about just technology in general. But I think, like, this is a situation that, like, you should take this. It's gotten to the point with technology, social media, where the sport and the onus of the players having to call what they see from 300 yards away is kind of ridiculous to me.
Yeah, the whole thing's subjective. The whole thing's kind of preposterous. Now, they're the best in the world. They've done it played a million golf holes. They're probably the best in the world to, if they wanted to, try and discern where something like this crosses. But, yeah, it's up there with the NFL not being able to spot the ball with any kind of precision.
Yeah, think about also if you played street rules basketball in the NBA where the players call their own fouls. What would happen? You know, everybody's played pickup basketball where down the stretch it's like foul, foul, foul. You know, I just think that we're at the point with the sport that it might be a little archaic that the players still call the penalties, because this situation is 1,000% avoidable for the player, for the championship, And for the sport, if Rory goes on to win, this is going to hang over it.
Yeah.
And obviously he made 10 birdies. Like, I think, like, if you want to zoom out about Rory just in general, that's the most encouraging golf round he's played. Granted, he made a couple mistakes off the tee, but making 10 birdies, that's the type of stuff you want to see. That's the explosiveness, and that's the gear that he has that very few people have.
I think, like, just to put a bow on it, you're talking about something hanging over the players or hanging over the championship if he were to go on. I just feel like, you know, and he had some – Victor and Spieth did not talk after the round. So, I don't know if they were upset about this. I heard maybe Spieth wasn't super – just kind of exhausted by both having to do 18, the word across, and 7 word across. So they didn't talk after, but Rory's like, you know, he did. He's like, look, I care a lot about this. It's on my conscience. I don't want it on my conscience if something's sort of pushing the limit. And if, like, you get in the throes of a hot round, right? You're moving, you're running, you like, and then you pull one into the hazard. Maybe you get over aggressive or uncharacteristically aggressive. I don't know. It just feels like we don't have conclusive evidence. It seems like one way or the other on both. But he opened himself up to scrutiny, criticism by being and pushing it as much as he did. He opened himself up to that. And if he wants to be extra safe, or he's, you know, it does weigh on his conscience, maybe he doesn't be that aggressive. But again, you're like talking to someone who's in the middle of a hot competitive round, pushing the lead, and trying to straddle that balance between being safe and like continuing the round. Now, obviously, is the proper drop. What?
I think he should be suspended.
Kick him off the tour.
Should have to spend a night in Ponte Vedra jail.
Yeah. We talked about getting kicked out of Jack's Beach bars, right? So he's familiar with being thrown out around those parts. So you throw him out of the tournament.
Well, I think there's this other thing is when you're the Prince of Ponte Vedra, when you're royalty,
is he still that?
That's a great question. He might be a prince in exile. He might be Prince Harry. when you're the prince, you can you get back and you're in your kingdom. You throw your weight around a little bit.
Yeah, he's putting his thumb on the scale. An interesting bit of flair, though. It sounds like you know it added some drama to a wonderful day on the PGA Tour. At least, and they needed one. Now,
I mean, if they could get Xander, Wyndham, and Rory, they aren't going to be able to get all of them. I mean, they need Xander to play well. We've talked about the talent drain. Part of the problem with the tour and the talent drain is that the two house cats just haven't been winning anything.
Hey, I got some pushback, inside info, pushback that you're way off the mark on your Cantlay criticism.
About what?
Episode, it being selfish. I'd say he's one guy who's really in all of this, but look, I just want to present the fair and balanced portrayal here that Cantlay is one guy that busting his ass and really honestly speaking for the entire membership or looking out for the entire membership and busting, really doing his job as a board member representative. I just want to present that obviously Cantlay is often a subject of criticism. But you know, figure we present both sides there that he has actually been unfairly maligned and really working. One of the few people working like really hard on this and trying to do his job as a representative for the entire membership. And that's not sounds like a talking point, but it came unvarnished from the inside there. So
did Patrick Cantlay tell you that?
Yeah, Cantlay texted him that we're on boys. No, an impartial source. We need a good leaderboard. It feels like we're on the way to one. Maybe the course conditions provided that. Maybe your little pillow soft deal. What do you call this track?
I'm just, it's beautiful. It's beautiful country. Bridge. Beautiful country we're driving through.
Blooming.
Yeah, it's pretty.
So, Players' Championship, good leaderboard. I don't know. You have anything else you want to talk about here?
I think I'm good. I think that does it.
Troy Merritt tried to jam me at the top.
I mean, the first hole coverage, the early morning off 10 PGA Tour Live has been gold. A couple years ago, we got Perk saying the baton boy, Colin Horschel, the baton boy. This year, we get Troy Merritt going out birdie after you just, you know, laid into what is he doing here. So
he quickly came back down there. I think he's like T93, but we had that moment where he was tied first. So.
I'm excited to get back stateside, lock in for the players Saturday, Sunday. But we got a 36-hole day of golf ahead here.
Just
running ourselves into the ground here.
Yeah, then we're getting on the flight. We're out of here. But a great trip to Ireland. Excited to get home, just watch the players.
Check out Explorations. That's been fun. I think we've got Prince Harry coming on next week.
We do get to call himself the Prince of Pottermore. He does refer to himself as the Prince in his castle.
He took the interview from his castle.
He did. He used the term pampered fucks a couple times. So that'll be on the Explorations feed. That's an interview about Northern Ireland. We have some good stories about Rory in Northern Ireland. We have some, you know, completely coincidental that we were over here. You know, we got him to come on and talk a little bit about coming up in Northern Ireland and the golf scene in Northern Ireland. That'll come next week after the players has sort of subsided. We will talk to you on the Explorations feed with that. We'll talk to you on Monday on Shotgun Start, full recap of the Players' Championship.